Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river, river of anointing. It's the
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're so glad you're joining us today on this beautiful day in Clearwater. And next to the last, day of February of 2016. And we're going to have a great show, and some of our radio team will be along pretty soon. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and as always, excited about being here and being on the air with you today. We are in our 9th year of this show and 15th year of our ministry of Beacon of Hope, and God has blessed so much through the years. It's just amazing, all the answers to prayer and everything that He continually does to bless this ministry and to bless each of us individually. So got to get one of our callers in here, and I believe it's Nathan. How are you, Nathan? Are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
All right, there you are. Yeah, just had to buzz you through here. And Betty will join us here pretty soon. And Nathan, it's just a joy to be able to do this show, isn't it, for so long? And you were with me on the very first show, April of 2007. And you've been a part of this ministry for a long time, since 2003. And it's really cool to be able to have the continuity and the consistency week after week as we bring forth words of life week after week, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just enjoyable. I mean, to be able to share what God is doing in the ministry, but in particular, as we get into the Word of God, this ministry is totally based on God's Word. In fact, our slogan, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, has been what has motivated us, carried us through the Word of God, the power of the Word of God that we consistently talk about week after week on this show. Is what gives us that strength and that hope to keep going, isn't it? It's always there.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes, it is.
You know, you and I both grew up in the ministry with our parents being in ministry and whatever. And a lot has changed through the years in ministry, hasn't it? Have you noticed that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed it. Yes,
yeah. Yes.
A lot has changed.
But the consistency here is that the Word of God is faithful and true. And when we get a promise from God and He makes those promises, He's a promise keeper also, not just a promise maker. And we can rely on the Word of God, can we not?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
And what does that mean to you, Nathan, to have that consistency year, day after day, year after year? To know that no matter what it is we're going through, we have promises from God in His Word that will carry us through that experience.
Well, you know, there are general promises in the Word of God to
right.
everyone.
Right.
And then there are specific promises that God makes to each individual.
Right.
To us. And
yes.
to see those come to pass just builds my faith.
Doesn't it?
Causes my faith to grow, yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, it does, because when we are living in the Word of God, which is what this ministry is all about, when we're living it, we're not just talking about it, but we're living it on a consistent basis. We're relying on the promises of God. We're hanging on to His word. We are hearing from Him, and we are following through with what He has for us on a daily basis. It gives our lives meaning and purpose, doesn't it? Talk to me about that. Yeah. Meaning and purpose, well, you know?
Meaning and purpose, yeah, because the fact of the matter is, since Christ saved me,
yes,
He saved me for a reason.
Amen. That's right.
And the reason is to bring others into the kingdom of God.
Oh, amen.
And he uses me that way. He
yes.
He uses my life.
Right.
To bring other people into the kingdom.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that He does. I'm so grateful that He does.
Well, and that's what life's all about. You know, we live in a wonderful time. You know, a lot of people are in much better physical and financial strength than they ever were. Perhaps some people are still struggling in it with issues, and that's just part of life. But we live in a time where we are able to hear the word of God on the airwaves, where we're able to hear it on TV, where we're able to go to church. We have religious freedom in this nation. And it means so much to know that we can build our faith. That's what we're talking about in this series. We're talking about being faithed up to overflowing and building our faith level on a consistent basis. How important is that, Nathan, as we get into this show today? Why do we need to be faithed up?
Because without faith, it's impossible to please God.
There you go. Hebrews 11:6. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so our faith needs to grow to keep pleasing God.
Amen. Amen.
And he provides the vehicle for our faith to grow.
Right. He does. Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing.
And, you know, but it takes effort on everybody's part who wants to really grow in God. It takes effort to get stronger by studying the Word, listening to shows like this, building yourself up in the faith. You know, here faith comes by hearing, it says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That means there is a direct correlation between how much word we put into ourselves and how much our faith grows, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So there's no substitute for that. Go ahead.
It's impossible for our faith to grow without filling ourselves with the word.
Yes.
Because
yes.
The word is truth.
Amen.
And when we fill ourselves up with the word of God, and we fill ourselves up with the promises of God, and we see those things fulfilled daily, then our faith grows daily.
Yes, it does. Daily. Whoa. Are you there? Nathan, are you still there? Betty, is that you? I lost Nathan here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's me. I called in just a few minutes early.
Yeah, that's okay, but I've lost Nathan somehow, so hopefully he'll call back. Okay. Well, you know, we're excited about what God's going to do today on the show as we get more and more full of faith. That's the goal. And we thank you, Lord, for a great time. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you the glory and the praise right now for what you are going to do on this show. You are amazing, Lord. We just love to be in your presence. We love to get in your word. We love to talk about your word. We love to learn it. We love to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity right now on the airwaves as we are talking about increasing our faith. And Lord, by the end of this show, yes, having a faith level that is higher and stronger and deeper than it was when we even began. So Lord, you get the glory and the praise for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's get to this first song, and it is entitled Never Let You Fall by Ray Bolts, one of my friends and an amazing musician, Ray Bolts.
As you step in to the unknown, I know you're frightened and you feel alone, but there's something you should understand. You are my child, you're
and I will never let you fall. And this is a promise to believe. No, I will never let you fall any further than your knees. I hear you praying for a child, and you're so afraid they'll go wild. Don't forget my love is true. And I will carry them like I've carried you. And I will never let them fall. This is a promise to believe. I will never let them fall any further than their knees. I will never let you fall. This is a promise to believe. I will never let you fall any further than, never further than, never further than your knees.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Wow. Praise God. Whoa, Nan's got a poem here, and then we're going to get with Betty and Nathan, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10, audience. Go ahead.
I am always right there with you, and I'll never, ever let you fall. I will sustain you in all things. Just look to me and call. Spend time in prayer with me.
Amen.
And you'll know what you need to know. I will let you know what you do need to know, and through this process you will grow. So what will it be this day, little one? Will you go to your knees seeking me? I will meet you there in prayer, and through my eyes you will be able to see.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. Wow. You know, this is interesting. We started with that song, Betty and Nathan, as we start into Matthew 10. And thank you, Nan, for that. That was really good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And as we talk about harvest hands today, this very important topic of reaching out and beyond our walls and reaching people that maybe we never have thought we would be able to reach. You know, so often the devil will come and attack us, you know, really bad when we start out on some new venture. And yet we are told right here in 1 Corinthians 10 that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so you can stand up under it. That is for someone today. I don't know who you are out there, but that scripture is for you. It goes along with that song. Betty, are you on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. And Nathan, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to actually, let's start with chapter 9, verse 35, because it just enters. It gives us the entrance into chapter 10. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. We have a picture right here of what Jesus was doing, walking from town to town. And he was meeting with them in their meeting places. He was talking to them about kingdom news, that's praise reports, answers to prayer, healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. We are talking about harvest hands today on Living the Good Life. And here's the first harvest hands. They're in Matthew 10. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers, sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. And then they are all mentioned here, the original 12 harvest hands. And this is not just for that day, Betty, is it? It applies to us today also, doesn't it? Talk to me about that.
My goodness, yes, Pastor and Nathan and Nan.
Yeah.
And our listeners, is that he gives us an opportunity to witness in opportunities that may just come up. He may prepare us for who we're to minister to, but most of the time it's unexpected.
Yeah, right.
You might meet someone at the grocery or someone even at church that maybe seems like they're lonely or they're sitting by themselves. Those are the hands that need to reach out, Pastor.
Yeah.
And bring in, you know, bring in the people that are lonely. Bring in the people that really need Jesus.
I agree. And I find it very interesting that Jesus didn't just assume all this responsibility upon himself to go out and minister to the diseased bodies, the bruised and hurt lives, all of this. In fact, he encouraged people to join the team, so to speak, right? Nathan, I mean, this was not just a one-man show. Jesus was not a one-man show. And I love that about him. You want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, he chose 12 disciples.
Right.
Specifically to carry out the ministry.
Right.
He chose them and he empowered them.
Yes.
To do the work.
Right.
And they did it.
And he gave them the power, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And this applies to us today because we are, yes, we are commissioned to go beyond our walls. You know, that's been our slogan now for 3 or 4 years, going beyond our walls to reach people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. That's what it's all about. And Jesus is our example. He did not just say, you know what, I'm the Messiah, so I'm the only one that's going to pray for people. I'm the only one that's got the authority. Nathan, did he have that kind of an attitude?
No, he did not. No, he did not. He gave us
Amen.
Authority in his name.
Amen.
To heal the sick.
Yes.
To heal the sick.
Yes.
To tenderly handle those with broken lives and just to move in the spirit.
Right.
He gave us that authority and he gave us that ability.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing because to be empowered to be able to do the work.
And so often, I think that this generation that we all live in here, this time, point in time, people's lives are so busy. We tend to get very caught up in our own situations, and we, a lot of times, just don't see the opportunities right in front of us, do we, Betty? I mean, it's almost like they're out there, but, you know, we're missing them somewhere. Disconnect.
Right. Yeah, we're just disconnected. We're distracted.
Yeah.
We have a willingness sometimes to even turn turn and walk away or turn and look away.
Right.
When right there in front of us is a chance to minister. And I think that so many people today, you know, when they talk about the harvest,
yes,
is that a lot of people in today's ministry expect the pastor to do it all.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't
right.
do that. And that's why he called it helping hands or ministering hands or harvest hands.
Right.
And you look at the word hands, and that's plural.
Right.
So that means that there's more than one person that can go out and do the ministry.
Right.
That, you know, even in Jesus' time, he had 12 disciples that were willing vessels to go out and win people for Christ.
And, you know, a lot of times our excuses are many, you know. And one of those things is we don't feel adequate, or we feel that we can't, you know, we'll be under attack if we go out and talk to people about the Lord, or if we offer to pray for somebody, that it will, you know, inconvenience us or hurt us in some way. And that's one reason we started the show with that song today, Never Let You Fall, because, you know, God is right there with you when you're reaching out and when you're going beyond your walls. Nathan, it's so amazing and encouraging to know that His Spirit, who dwells on the inside of us, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit will be guiding us and directing us, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
every step of the way.
Every step of the way. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of times people get so caught up in the logistics of how to, or... I remember back in college in Campus Crusade for Christ, we were taught certain aspects of, you know, talking to people. There's the four spiritual laws, and you do it this way, this way, this way. Point one, two, three, four. But I really think that God is more interested in us creating relationships with people more than having a routine, a set little monologue or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me about that. Yeah, Nathan, talk to us about that, and then we'll go to Betty for her comments on that.
Well, you know, I remember the four spiritual laws, and the word was book.
Right, yes.
the
colors?
The colors.
Right.
Yes. it was a routine
right.
that we had to talk to people about Christ.
Exactly.
And, I mean, not that that's a bad thing.
No.
But it was a routine. And it wasn't really building relationships with the people.
Aha, you said the word.
It wasn't really showing them Christ in you.
Whoa. You said that word, relationship. That is a critical word here when it comes to reaching out beyond our walls. It's the word relationship. I want you to talk more about that, Nathan, and then we'll go to Betty on that word. Because that's critical here when we are reaching out and becoming a harvest hand.
Well, sometimes... You know, we're so eager to talk.
Right.
When the only thing we need to do is listen.
Oh, whoa.
Just listen to what the person has to say.
Yeah, Nan,
you know,
we can ring the bell on that one. Yeah, you got the bell in there? Oh, yeah. Let's try that again. Try ringing it again. There we go. Yes. So often, you're right, Nathan. I'm sorry, I got you two mixed up. You two, yeah. And one of you's here and one of you's there, so you can't get mixed up. But anyway, but so often we do get so caught up in what someone is, what we want to say. That's the point I'm trying to make. What we want to say that we don't listen very well. Betty, talk to us about that.
Well, I think that once you build that communication with the Lord, that relationship develops and becomes stronger each time that you communicate with Him and have communion with Him.
Right.
It's amazing how sometimes timidity and fear can keep us from having that type of relationship with the Lord.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's like, you know, you feel like what you said just a few minutes ago just really hit home with me, is that if you go out and minister to people, that they're afraid that, you know, you're going to be attacked by the enemy.
Yes.
Well, if you're sitting still and not doing anything, he's probably not going to bug you as much as he would do normally. But if you're out ministering and you're bringing people in for Christ, there is a chance of attack, just like there was with Jesus and the disciples. So
right.
we're not immune from that. But we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us.
Yes.
And we have that authority.
Amen.
To overcome any attacks against us while we are in ministry.
Amen.
And I think that you can attest to this, and I know Nathan and I can, and so can Nan, that when we're in the ministry, we are under attack.
Yeah.
Because he does not want the kingdom of God to advance. And especially when it comes to bringing people to a saving knowledge of him. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. And I find it very interesting that God ministered this verse to me this morning early. And now I feel like it's come up and we need to really look at it more thoroughly when we're talking about this stepping out beyond our comfort zone. Again, I refer everybody to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm reading it in the NIV. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And sometimes the temptation is to give up. Sometimes the temptation is to doubt that God has even been talking to you. Sometimes the temptation is fear. You know, oh, I can't step out and do this new thing for God that he's calling me to do, because what if I'm wrong? What if I didn't hear correctly? Or what if I stir the devil up and he gets mad and attacks me? Well, so what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right, Nathan? So what if he attacks you? I mean, there you go. He is going to do that. That's his job description.
That's his job.
He is going to throw temptation at you, whether it be doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, laziness, just on and on, just being kind of disconnected from what God wants you to be. God has called us, listeners, to be harvest hands and to get out there and do something for the kingdom of God in our prayer life, in our action, having relationships with people and helping them find God, all of this. And a lot of times we are afraid of stirring up the devil's hornet's nest. Amen. Betty, talk about that with me, and then Nathan.
Yeah, you know, when I talk about it, I get a little fired up and get on a soapbox. I apologize to you and the listeners.
What's that? When you get fired up is what now?
I get fired up when you start talking about, you know, attacks and Satan, because we've all experienced
it. Oh, yeah.
Whether it be through our finances, personal matters, jobs, it hits at our weakest point.
Yes.
And one of the things that hit me hard last week was working in a ministry. And I've backpedaled probably for 17, 18 years about not wanting to step out and get into a ministry again, because I feel like that my ministry is praying.
Okay.
And it is a ministry.
Yes.
You get to the point where the Lord says, okay, you can pray and still be in a ministry to be able to bring, and I think I read it in Matthew, you can touch the untouchable.
Yes, yes.
Without even having sometimes to go outside of your geographical area.
Right.
Stepping outside your comfort zone because you're afraid of being attacked.
Right.
You know, when it hits home with myself, I begin to ponder, okay, where are you going to take me, Lord? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, within just a matter of time through the Word of God or through praying or even through another living soul, if somebody says something to you and it just hits you right between the eyes.
Uh-huh.
You know, the door's been opened now.
Right.
Hey Lou, are you going to go through it, or are you just going to stand there and not want to change? And this is another thing that I think we need to bring up,
is people do not want to change.
That's right.
They feel comfortable sitting in the same pew every Sunday, singing the same songs, hearing the same sermon, and they're afraid to step out because they're afraid of change. Am I right?
You are right. Yeah. You are right. Yeah. And here Jesus comes. We talked last week about the radical Jesus. That was the title of last week's show. And here he is, and he is being extremely hornet nest stirring upper. You know what I mean? He's radically causing people to rethink their religious position, you know, and every place he goes, he causes an uproar in a way, you know. Nathan, talk to me about that. I mean, Jesus is radical. He's radical.
Well, he came into he would go into the churches, or the meeting places of the people.
Right.
And he would stir them up.
Yeah.
By the things that he said. I mean, the religious leaders were out of fellowship with him because they felt like he was, you know, saying something wrong or saying something too far out there for them to get.
Right.
And they didn't like it. They did not like it. And they did not like him.
No. Oh, and, absolutely they didn't. Right.
And, I mean, the devil would use them to attack him and you know, come against him.
Oh, absolutely.
But he was always telling the truth. He would always tell the truth.
And he would, you know, a lot of times they did not want him healing on the Sabbath because they considered that work.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When did he heal? A lot of times on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
Right. Just to get everything all stirred up. And it says here at the end of chapter 9 of Matthew, when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. You know, people in general are confused and aimless, you know, unless they know the Lord. They can be searching. This whole New Age movement, this is just an attempt for people to try to not deal with God, but deal with all these concepts and principles and whatever, but stay away from the reality of a personal relationship with God Almighty. And you know, there is that whole thing. And Jesus says, wait a minute, people need the Lord. They need to come to God. And Betty, talk to me about that, because I love chapter 10, verse 1, and then I'll let you comment. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12, sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This was their commission, if you will.
Well, it's kind of like ours too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Is that we are to be we're to be the helpers. We're to be the tender, loving person that God created us to be.
Right.
And I think that once that you're instilled with his compassion, like I'm sure that the disciples were, that we have, like I said a few minutes ago, we have the same power that the disciples had.
Oh, amen.
We just have to be faced up, filled to the brim with his word and with his power to be able to go out and reach those souls for him.
That's it.
And it doesn't take, how do I want to say this? You don't have to be highly educated.
Right.
You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to the Lord.
Amen.
And I feel that people think they have to do that they have to be pristine clean before that they can go out and do the work for the Lord. Well, we have to be radical enough, like Jesus was, is to stand up and tell ourselves, you can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a child of the living God.
Yes.
And you can do this, and there is no reason why that you can't do it. I mean, there's people that are ministering, at least in this geographical area, and I'm sure they are in yours too, that there are people in wheelchairs that are amazing when it comes to winning souls for Christ.
Right.
People that stand on street corners in Wayne County, just outside of where I live, that they hold up signs, you know, John 3:16. You'll see people that are in baseball games hold
right.
a sign, John 3:16.
Yeah.
And they're everywhere. They're everywhere if we just open our eyes and realize that we can do so much. It's like what Nathan said, if we would just sit back and listen
yeah.
and have enough faith to be faced up enough to go out and say, okay, God, I'm here. I surrender. I do whatever you want me to do. Send me.
Amen. And you know, that's the essence of the gospel, getting ourselves so full of faith in the word, God's word, in the life that Jesus has for us, getting ourselves so motivated because we see the value in reaching out. We are doing this show, 9 years now, and God has always provided the money for it week after week. Why are we doing it? We're doing it to reach people with the truth of the Word of God, not some watered-down thing where, oh, everybody's good and everybody, you know, is the same. No, we're not all the same. No. We all have a purpose that God wants to fulfill in our lives, but we have to be willing to get on board with His plan for our lives and let that faith grow within us. Talk to me, Nathan, about all this. I mean, God is calling us to be harvest hands. Harvest hands, get out there.
Well, we need to be willing to go.
Yes.
You know, here am I, Lord.
Send me. Yeah.
And that's a very important step to take.
Right.
It's a very important thing to do. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we don't know how we got there.
Really?
But God is able.
Amen.
To see us through it.
Right.
To give us the words. He gives us the words to say. And he sees us through the situation.
Exactly.
And he brings it out, brings us out on the other side.
Oh, he does.
Victorious.
Amen. Victorious. Amen.
And so we can rejoice in him.
Ah.
And sometimes, you know, we go out to share the word of Christ with people, and there's no response. They don't respond to it.
Right.
But seed has been planted.
Right.
Seed has been planted. You know, and Jesus said, you know, some come to plant. Some comes to water, and then another comes and gathers the harvest.
Oh.
And so, therefore, you know, we can trust God that he'll bring in the harvest.
Amen.
Somehow.
Amen. He will.
He'll bring somebody in to bring in the harvest.
He will.
Plant the seed.
And when all he asks of us is to be willing. And I just got a text from our good friends in Mexico where I was 2 weeks ago tonight. I was preaching there. Enrique and Pedro are listening, and a shout out to both of you brothers, and I miss you very, very much, and we're glad you're listening to the show. And you know, this whole topic applies to our outreach in Mexico, Betty and Nathan and Nan,
yes.
Because God is taking us beyond our borders to reach out because of our intense love of radio ministry and what it can do to reach so many people. And you know, God took us to Mexico. I am thrilled to be a part of what God's doing there. Enrique and Pedro, I'm gonna ask them to be on our show soon, and so that they can share what God is doing. But I guess what I'm hearing you say, Betty and Nathan, and even Enrique and Pedro, okay? When we have to get to a point in our lives where we realize that serving God is the most important thing in our lives, that accomplishing His purpose for us may be inconvenient, it may be difficult at times, it may stretch us. You know, I had some experiences that stretched me with the Spanish language, but praise God, he came through for me. And, you know, as we allow ourselves to step out and we are faithed up with purpose and with a desire, a passion to get the word of God out there. When we are like that, God opens doors like you would not believe. Betty, talk to me about that. And then Nathan, praise God.
Well, I think the name Jesus
extends beyond the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
The north, south, east, and west.
It does, yes.
To our wonderful friends down in Mexico, Brazil, England, France, wherever.
Wherever.
Wherever these radio programs take us.
You usually say Mexico, Betty. You don't usually say Mexico.
What's... Oh, but if they're listening down in Mexico, they don't want to hear my
statement. That's all right.
The love of Jesus extends.
Amen. Amen.
Way beyond just the Wayne County and Pinellas.
Right. Yes.
It way beyond that.
It does, and we've got to catch the vision. I think that is what I am wanting to communicate today. People, if you feel like life has passed you by, you're too old for ministry, or you feel like you don't have anything to give anyone, it's a matter of saying, God, here am I, send me. I think you mentioned that a minute ago, Nathan, and that's what it's about, and he can send you to the grocery, and you run into someone. And Nan's nodding her head back in the studio because that happened to her so much there for a period of time. Every time she turned around, God was saying for her to pay for somebody's groceries or do this. Remember that, Nan, about a year ago? It was crazy time. But you know what? Those were lessons where we go beyond our comfort zone. Talk to me, Nathan, and we're going to get to this song, one of my favorites, here in a minute.
Well, going beyond our comfort zone, God likes to do that.
Oh, yeah, doesn't he?
God likes, he likes to do that. Yes, he does, because the fact of the matter is, if we go beyond our comfort zone, we are more dependent on him.
Right.
Because we know it's out of ourselves.
Exactly.
Because in ourselves, we would not go beyond our comfort zone.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we probably would stay well within our reaches.
Uh-huh.
We would stay well within our, you know, ourselves, instead of going out and reaching out and touching the lives of those people that God wants us to touch.
Amen.
We would be resistant, as a matter of fact.
Amen. And you, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it's okay. It's okay.
Do you notice that not one of these 12, there's not a little parenthesis beside their name here in Matthew 10 and says, oh, but he didn't feel like going, so he didn't go. Or, you know what, he was tired and he had had a rough week, so he didn't go.
No.
It doesn't say that about anybody, does it? Okay?
No, it doesn't.
You know, we're going to play the song, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, and by Casting Crowns. Betty, what does that song say to you?
That he is a friend to everyone.
No matter what.
No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter what you've seen, no matter what you've done, Jesus is a friend of sinners.
Whoa, listen to this, and we're going to talk more in a minute.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy, help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Hey, yeah.
sinners, the one who's writing in the sand. May the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners. Open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Every lost cause, you reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. There's a reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
'Cause you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good, you are good, and your love endures forever.
Hearts be led by mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Nan's got a poem that God just gave her during that song.
I do. This is a very powerful poem. It's, oh my gosh. It's called I Can, I Will, I Do. Mm. I am the friend of sinners. I am the friend of you. Oh, I will help you through all things. I will help you make it through. I am the friend of sinners. I will use you to reach them. I am the one they need in life. I will help them to learn to depend. I am the one who loves all people. I will help them deal with their strife. I will give them the answers that they need. I will always be there in their lives. I can, I will, I do. And it's interesting in this particular poem, you know, every line began with either I am or I will.
Wow. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Okay. And that song, how it affects us. Whoa. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Don't begin. These are the words of Jesus. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. I'm in the Message Bible. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. I love those four words right here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. You are the equipment, and all you need to keep that going is three meals a day, travel light. Woo! Talk to us, Nathan, then we'll go to Betty here. Wow. And how does that song in how does that song be involved here?
Well, just thinking about the fact nobody knows what we're for, but they only know what we're against.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
Basically, people do know that. People know what Christians are against.
Right. Good point. Right.
They don't know what they're for. They don't know that they're for love.
Right.
You know, they don't know that they're for people to come to Christ. I mean, how can people come to Christ when they're so afraid?
Right.
You know, they're afraid.
They're afraid they can't measure up, you know?
Right. We put the fear in them.
Yeah. Right.
We put the fear in them.
Right.
And to think about the fact that we swing the sword so many times.
Right.
We swing the sword so many times that it's not ours to swing. It's never, never ours to swing.
Yes.
But we take it up anyway.
Right.
And take it up against people. Well, the reason to take up the sword is against the devil.
Right.
Which is the word of God.
Exactly.
Never against people.
Right. But Christians are famous for this, you know, pointing out things in other people's lives or judgment or criticism. Talk to us about this, Betty. I love this, that we are the equipment. We don't have to have $1 million to start a ministry. You know, we don't have to have $1,000 even. You know, we are the equipment.
Well, and I think that song said it, that let our hearts be led by mercy.
That's it. Yes.
And we reach people with open hearts and open doors.
Right.
And when we do that, we open the kingdom of God. Well, I mean, we bust the kingdom of God wide open to let people understand that even though we call ourselves Christians or lovers of Jesus, is that we have flaws, and we sometimes point that finger at someone and accuse them when we don't have the right to do it, because we are not the judges. The only person who will judge us is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, but there are so many churches, Pastor Nathan and Nan, that don't open doors to people anymore. Is that if they come in, maybe, I don't want to pick on a certain group, someone comes in that does not have the best clothes, or they haven't had the ability to bathe or whatever, and they just need someone to reach out to them with their open heart,
right?
Open the doors to these people,
yeah,
and don't escort them out the door, because you don't have any idea what they've walked. You don't you don't know the path that they have walked, and so reach out. And kind of reach out and touch them and let them know that Jesus is a friend of sinners.
Amen.
That Jesus, even though we are Christians, he is our friend. He is our daddy God.
Yes.
That he's as close as the mention of his name.
Amen.
And I think that is so wonderful to just say, hey, I've got somebody who loves you more than he loved than I love you. And that's my Lord Jesus.
Oh,
that's
amen. Amen. I want to go back up into Matthew 10, about verse 6 or 7. Tell them that the kingdom is here, okay? And Jesus was always talking about the kingdom. And in Romans 14, 17, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about measuring up to a certain code or standard. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we've got to minister to people. You can be in right standing with God. That's righteousness. You can have peace that is absolutely will just blow your mind that you can be this much at peace. And you can have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we minister the kingdom principles, that's what Jesus said, tell them the kingdom is here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. You can be in right standing with God. You can walk in peace. You can walk in joy like you've never known. That there is such a better life that most people have never, ever even experienced. Talk to me about all
that,
Nathan.
Simple.
Huh?
It's simple. It's been done for us.
Yes.
All we have to do is accept God's plan for our lives.
Right.
Accept God's will for our lives.
Right.
And God's will is that not no one should perish.
Right.
But all should come to repentance.
Amen. Amen.
And that is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yes.
I mean, that's it.
Right.
That's our righteousness.
Right.
Jesus is all our righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
We stand complete in Him.
Yes. Good song.
Yeah.
We stand complete in Him and worship Him. And when we talk about the kingdom principles and what God has for each of us, I mean, when we are really living in that, Betty, it's like there's a deep joy, there's a deep peace, no matter what happens around us or to us. You know what I'm saying, Betty?
And was it joy unspeakable?
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
It's so reassuring in your spirit,
right,
that you have a God that is greater than all of our needs.
Amen.
He knows our needs before we ask. We couldn't ask for a better father than the Lord, because He knows us inside and out. He
yes.
created us. He knows
yes.
every hair on our head.
Right.
And so if He created us in His image, then how beautiful are we?
Amen. Woo!
Amen.
Amen. We got to talk more about this in the next hour. Are you staying with us, Nathan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. We just want to remind you all that we invite you to go to our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So bohmglobal.com, and you can get acquainted with our ministry there. And also, there's tons of radio shows. Since we've been doing this show 9 years, sometime in the first couple years, started placing our shows on our website. So there's hundreds of them there. Believe it or not, there are hundreds. Last year, about November, let's see, we had our 400th show. We're close to 500 now. And just pleased and thrilled that we're able to share the Word of God like this week after week. Every Saturday and Sunday, StarComRadioNetwork.com picks up this show, plays it every Saturday morning and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And that would be this show this week today that we're doing will be heard this Saturday and Sunday, StarComRadioNetwork.com. So write that down. You can hear the shows at 10 a.m. Eastern. These times are always Eastern. Our Thursday night show, Betty, what's our Thursday night show all about at 6:06 p.m.?
Oh, with the great Mama Mac. And
the great Mama
Angel
Mac. Now, just Mama
Angel
Mac.
Angel Falzoni.
Okay.
Yeah. You have a couple of aliases, but they're all good.
Okay, all right.
One of the things about the Thursday evening show is that it's a life coaching show, and it brings us a new perspective on some of the problems that we face maybe on a daily basis, whether it be dependency, abuse, or whatever. You guys really get down to the nitty-gritty and how to overcome some of those life issues.
Yeah. Yeah, and working with Dr. Angel, it's been a year and a half that we've been doing that show. And we've got some exciting things to talk to you about here in the next couple weeks about more radio work. But I tell you what, God is moving in these shows, and we invite you to tell people about them. Tune in every Thursday night live, 6:06 p.m. on this radio station, and that's Eastern Time, and that's Go Yard, which means hit a home run in life. Go Yard with me, Mama Mac, and with Dr. Angel. And so our prayer ministry, real quickly, Nathan, just invite people, would you, to use that, prayers at bohmglobal.com?
Please use it.
I mean,
we see victory after victory after victory.
Yes.
Answered prayer. That is prayers that go up because of that ministry.
Amen.
And so, therefore, I mean, we make it available to anyone.
Right.
It is available to anyone that would call in or that would write in to prayers at bohmglobal.com.
There you go.
Just write it out, what your need might be, and many people will pray.
That's right.
God will answer.
Amen. All right. Station ID, don't go anywhere. Stay right with us.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life, part two here today. And as always, live in the studio. And it's a joy to have you, Betty and Nathan. You're a part of our radio team. Our radio team is made up of about seven of you plus me. And I'm in here in the control room and having always a lot of fun here at the controls. And then we've got Nan there, Betty, your daughter Megan, and Cindy, one of our people. You three from my first church up in Indiana. And then the other four from this church right here in Clearwater, Nan and Nathan and Pastor Jim. And who am I leaving out? Am I leaving somebody out?
Yourself.
My guess, yeah. I guess that's it. Yeah, okay. All right, and we're going to hear from Enrique and Pedro here soon on one of these shows. I'll have to get with them and set that up. But I want you all to get familiar with the ministry in Mexico, and we'll be talking more about that, where God led me a few weeks back. And it was just 2 weeks ago tonight that I was privileged and honored to be able to preach at Nueva Esperanza right there in Puebla, Mexico. And what a great time we had. And just the whole time I was there, meeting new people and getting to know, again, you know, the culture, and having spent years in Central America growing up as a missionary's kid, it was like going back home, Betty and Nathan. It really was, you know? It was fun.
Well, I can imagine, because I've heard you speak Spanish before, and it's just like last Sunday when you were talking about Mexico, there was the Holy Spirit just was all over you when you were talking about it, and how inspiring it is to hear what's going on down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's very inspiring to us up here, because we don't get to hear much only about the mean stuff that goes on down there. We don't hear about the good work that Hispanic people are doing down there with Pedro and all of the
Enrique
people that are Enrique.
Yeah, there you go.
Enrique.
There you go.
Down there.
All right.
God bless them all for the mighty work and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing.
And we're just blessed to have connected with these dear people, and we're excited about what God's going to do through the radio ministry. When I went down, we took radio equipment to begin to be used there, and internet radio, which is what we're going to be beginning here very shortly, and reaching out to as many people as we can in Spanish, of course. And just let God open the doors of opportunity. So those of you that pray for this ministry, pray for that whole outreach and what God is going to do there and is already doing. And we are talking about Matthew 10 today, Harvest Hands. And we're going to start this hour with a song by Israel Houghton and New Breed. And it's called It's Not Over When God Is In It.
We want to speak life over you today.
Praise God. Receive this, dear ones. Receive this.
No matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New Breed.
It's not over. It's not finished.